Hello, audio boom. Graham, your Black 73 cat. Hope you're well, guys. It is Friday, the 5th of December, 2014, and it is about 9:30 in the AM. I'm just doing my housely chores, or some of them anyway. Friday today, busy day. Make sure the house is all spick and span for the weekend, so that we have as little to do as possible. How are we all? Not a lot to report from this end, other than I have my shiny new Xbox One console back in action. Yay! Shiny new controller arrived yesterday in its shiny new box. So yes, I'm back in action. And I was straight back into Destiny last night. And yeah, I had a good night actually. Just myself and a mate of mine. And we... Yeah, we did some awesome stuff last night. All very, very good indeed. All very, very good. Oh, I've just had a message from my brother to say that he wants to have a look at my computer. Still amazes me. He's like, well, he's in Sussex and I'm in North Nottinghamshire. And he can just connect to my computer and do stuff. That's amazing. It's amazing, really. So... I will plug in my laptop and fire it up as I'm talking to you. So last night was a good night. It was good to get back and be proper gaming again. There's been a lot of flack actually after what I said yesterday about the downloadable content and saying that Destiny are... Destiny is a fortunate game because the developers are listening to what the players want and stuff. And seemingly not everybody feels the same way because they announced yesterday the sort of ins and outs, the minutiae of what the new expansion pack is going to involve, because it's not just an expansion pack, it's a whole update to the game as well. So they're changing how things work, how things are upgraded and how you acquire certain attributes and that kind of thing. And some people aren't very happy about it. Some people are quite furious about it. Whereas others are just going, "Ah, sounds all right. Yeah, sounds okay, actually." Me personally, I don't give a hoot either way. The gameplay itself isn't going to change, and that's what I really enjoy. Leveling up is good, don't get me wrong. Getting extra bits is good, don't get me wrong. But I'm really not fussy, in all honesty. I'm quite happy to just carry on playing the game as it is, because it's pretty blooming amazing. So I'm just trying to fire up TeamViewer. And I shut it down yesterday because... I shut it down from yesterday because I guess that the password will now have expired. So I will send that through to my bro. No, I don't want to download TeamViewer 10. Because that'll cost me pennies. And I don't want to pay pennies for it when it's a free service. Right, so can I do this and do this? This is amazing. Just been having a bit of a Twitter debate about the merits of about the merits of iOS versus Android. Thanks. Password is go. The merits of iOS against Android. And, you know, it's always going to be one of those things, isn't it? You're going to have your iOS lovers and your Android lovers. I personally had a very brief marriage with iOS and decided that the only reasonable course of action to protect the kids, really, was was divorce. And then I remarried to Android. And yes, she's been very good to me. She's a good and faithful wife. And she does everything that I would expect. She's intelligent. She's powerful. She's capable. She's good looking. and she keeps me warm at night. awesome. I don't know where that came from, actually. So, yes, that's just been an interesting little bit of banter going around on Twitter. I kind of quite like it when there's something like that comes on. Of course, you'll always get the goons that will stand up and scream and start swearing and getting all ranty and anty about it. But to me, it's just a matter of choice. But it's just fun to take the mick. It's a bit like football banter these days, isn't it? iOS and Android. Football banter. All good. I was trying to think if I've got anything else to tell you, really. No. Had a great day out with my boy yesterday. We went to, my wife didn't need the car for the day. She was working she was actually going to a conference, and she went with somebody else from work, so therefore she didn't need the car, and I managed to get a day out with my little boy. We went to Rufford Abbey Country Park and fed the ducks and went for a walk in the woods and stuff like that, and it was all good, and we took our lunch with us and ate it on the way and stuff. It was just really nice, and it's something that I used to do with my big boy all the time when he was my little boy, because I went self-employed part-time when he was quite young, in order just so we didn't have to put him into full-time childcare all the time. He did like 3 days in a private nursery, and then he did 2 days with me, and yeah, we used to have some great days out because obviously I had the van, so we could just go everywhere. And we used to go to Rufford Park and places like that all the time, and it was great. You know, it really was good. And we had loads of days out, and just, you know, tram museums and all kinds of stuff. But of course, because we've only got the one car now, we can't really do that with a little boy, and it's a bit frustrating. I mean, we can go for walks around like Sherwood Forest because that's where we live, but. The fact that we can't go any further afield is a little bit frustrating, and it was just nice to get out yesterday with him and just do that stuff, just go and feed the ducks and walk around the lake and stuff, and kick a football on the field and things. It was just great. It really was a lovely, lovely few hours spent out in the cold. I think we're going to try and sort something out where I can acquire the car for a day here and there, just to kind of get him out and about a bit further than the bounds of the village. I could use buses, of course, but that would just be silly. I can't imagine using a bus nowadays. I have done a couple of times recently because my Dave, who I go walking with, will quite happily sort of walk to a destination and then get the bus back, but it's not really my thing. I'll do it if that's what he wants to do. I'm quite happy with that, but I really don't like using buses, and they're so blooming expensive. It's ridiculously expensive. We went for a walk a couple of weeks ago, and we got the bus back from the next village to ours. It would have taken me about 25 minutes, maybe half an hour at the very, very most, to walk it. And it cost us about £3.50 on the bus. It's like a couple of miles. Bonkers. Utterly bonkers. And I just thought, you know what, I can't do that. And yes, I could try and take the bairn into places on the bus, but sticking your blooming pushchair in that rack and sitting with dirty, smelly people I'm not saying that everybody uses the bus is dirty and smelly, but you know what I mean. So can't be doing public transport. It's not nice. It's not nice at all. So yes, it was lovely, lovely day out. Rufford Abbey's really nice, actually. There's the old ruined abbey, as you would expect. It was actually on the TV the other week, last week, was it? Walking Through History with Tony Robinson. He went from Laxton Castle to the Peak District. He walked all the way over to the Peak. I'm sure he didn't walk all the way over there. The show gave the impression that he was walking all the way there, but I don't think he actually did. I think he probably got in the car for some of it. But the wonders of modern television. But yes, he went to, he called in at Rufford Abbey because it's quite significant for he was talking about King John and the history behind all that malarkey, which is a lot of it was from around this sort of area. He went to Rufford Abbey and he went into the building and where they've got like the old ruins and the top half is all open where the roof's come down. It was actually turned into a country house at one point. That's all ruined now on the top. It's all open to the sky. The walls are falling down and stuff. And there's gargoyles and things on the wall. But then underneath, they've got like the undercroft kind of thing where they've got it all sort of like all loads of like things for the kids to interact with to learn about the history of the monks and all that malarkey. And he was in there, and of course, my little boy recognised it all, my big boy recognised it all, and he was got rather excited, he did, bless him. He then went on to the Major Oak, Robin Hood's tree, which still amazes me that people come from all over the world, right? And I mean all over the world. You can go up there pretty much any weekend and stand there and you will hear accents from all over the world. And the people come and look at this tree, and this tree that's now like old and falling to bits. It's literally propped up on big steel posts and patched up with fiberglass and plastic filler and stuff. It's just it's a decrepit old thing, a magnificent old thing, but it's literally being kept alive, purely for the tourists, I think. But everybody comes and there's this whole, obviously the myth, the legend, whatever you want to call it, of Robin Hood, and they're going, oh, and this is the Major Oak, this is the tree that was the centre of Robin Hood's your sort of living network, you know. And I mean, when I was a kid and I was told that Robin Hood lived in a tree, I thought he meant actually living inside a tree. I was expecting some like giant sequoia or something, and it was only as I got a bit older, I think it was probably Robin Hood Prince of Thieves, where it finally dawned on me that actually what they meant was he lived in the trees, as in the branches of the trees, and not actually inside the tree trunk. Yes, I know, I'm daft, but anyway, so yes, the tree's there, this Major Oak that everybody comes to see. But the tree is quite old, yes. But then again, so is the legend of Robin Hood. And what I kind of say to people that obviously come to visit us, say, oh, can we go and see Robin Hood's tree? Yeah, come on then. You do realise that's not Robin Hood's tree, don't you? Because even if he did exist, he certainly didn't have a tree house in the top of that tree. Do you know why? Because when he was alive, it was about 3 feet tall. Yeah, I think they've dated the tree to about 800 or 900 years old, which is about the same age as the myth of Robin Hood. So at very most, it was you know, sort of 50 or 100 years old. So it wasn't a very big, substantial tree back then. It certainly wouldn't be a major oak when you consider the others that are around it. But Tony Robinson was kind of implying that if the legend was true, which it probably isn't, the tree would have only been a sapling back then, which is quite interesting. Quite interesting. But yeah, people still flock to it from all over the world. But yeah. And the whole myth of the Robin Hood thing, he dispelled a little bit, to be quite honest. Which it's kind of refreshing to sort of see that. But then it's any of this folklore stuff. You kind of wonder that there must be something somewhere. Something started this story. So, you know, maybe there was a guy who, you know, held up the king's men a few times and robbed some money off them, and maybe he did, you know, go on the run from the sheriff for a little while and live in the woods. But it certainly wasn't, well, as far as history goes, it certainly wasn't on the scale that that Hollywood would have you think, for example. And I think the first story of Robin Hood written down wasn't for 100 until 100 years afterwards, I think, something like that, which is quite telling. But then again, that's how all of these things start, isn't it? I mean, I've said before, I don't want to get onto the subject of religion as such, but the whole thing, as much as I do not believe in God and Jesus and all that malarkey, well, no, that's wrong, because I don't believe in God and I'm not religious and all that malarkey, and I will never ever change on that. However, I do, to some extent, believe that there was this bloke called Jesus. In fact, I probably don't doubt it. And I just, you know, maybe there was somebody that was like standing up in this sort of lawless society in which they kind of lived and going, listen, guys, you know, if we're all a bit nicer to each other and we all did this, then, you know, we can maybe all get on a bit better, you know. There's no disputing that could have really happened, and this guy was probably some kind of evangelist who you know wanted to kind of see a better society and this kind of thing, and upon that the myth builds up, you know, and it's quite feasible. In fact, if you look at the stories, there was quite an interesting thing actually that I saw a while back on another TV documentary with a famous TV personality. It was one of these things where they I can't remember what it was called now, but they had, I think it was Richard Madeley, possibly Alison Steadman, and somebody else, so I can't remember. And the idea was that they were going back to where they lived or their hometown and taking these other two celebrities with them to discuss the history of the place and show them around and this kind of thing. And or places they went as a child on holiday or something like that. Anyway, it turns out Richard and Judy live in a village in Cornwall called Polperro. Incidentally, I went to Polperro for my honeymoon. It's a lovely little place. It's gorgeous. My parents used to rent a cottage there every year, and my dad used to go with all his mates fishing, and my mother would go and chill out for a week and cook all their food. So if you ever see one of the very famous pictures or paintings or photographs of Polperro Harbour, on the right hand side there are some houses that actually form part of the harbour wall. The sea actually laps up to the front, and in the middle of the row of houses on the right hand side there's only one grey cottage. And that's the one that my mum and dad used to rent every single year. For about 10 or 15 years, they had that one. And my wife and I stayed up in an inn called The Bell. We had the honeymoon suite, don't you know? And it was blooming freezing. We got married on the 23rd of December. It was freezing, but it was blooming gorgeous down there. I loved it. Anyway, I digress. So Richard and Judy live in a house near Polperro, just outside the village. So these celebrities all went to Richard and Judy's house, and he took them out for a bit of a walk. And there's a little bit of an island or something just off the coast, just off a loo. It's only a little tiny thing, just a big rock in the middle of the sea. And they went out to this island, and there's a little landing sort of beach jetty type thing. And they landed, and Richard Madeley told this story, and he said, "Now then," he said, "we do know from historical evidence and archaeology and that kind of thing that this particular island was a staging post, was a sort of a port, if you like, and this used to bring this is where boats used to come from the east. They used to bring sort of spices and all this kind of malarkey and all goods from that part of the world." And they used to moor up here, and they found something which said, I can't remember what it was, but essentially they could date it back to the supposed time of Christ, for want of a better bit of terminology. And something, I think, if I remember rightly, said something about they found some records or something of a guy on one of these ships called Joseph, who was a carpenter. Or were they just saying that Joseph of Arimathea was a ship's carpenter? I think he was. That was his job. And Jesus, apparently, was his apprentice for a while. So basically the story goes, and I can't remember the ins and outs of it, but essentially the story goes that Jesus could well have stood on that island, because if he was an apprentice carpenter on the ships, he would have been an apprentice with Joseph of Arimathea. And Joseph of Arimathea is apparently known to have made that journey, or alleged to have made that journey to that little island in Cornwall. So it's quite possible that Jesus could have been on the boat with him, learning how to chop up bits of wood and stuff, and stood on that island momentarily. Maybe he went for a wee in the bushes or something. You never know. There could be Jesus wee on the island. but it's like the Robin Hood thing. It's probably just one little incident or one tale of one person, and it just gets like the folklore. As all folklore is, it just builds and builds and builds. And you know, in the case of well, any of the religions, really, they've just kind of become sort of common common stories that get passed down through the generations, and they've grown and grown and grown and probably been distorted and twisted and, you know, bastardised in various ways, as has, you know, the Robin Hood and King Arthur and all that malarkey, you know. They're all the same kind of thing as far as I'm concerned. But yes, anyway, that digress. Where did that come from? Oh, that was me going around Rufford Abbey, wasn't it? Yeah, it was my little boy having a great day out. Not so great today, because today involves hoovering, mopping floors, cleaning bathrooms, etc. Which is not quite as interesting, but just as important to their health and welfare and general all-round well-being. But right now, what is on my priority list is getting this blinking dishwasher stacked and getting very strong cup of hot black coffee, because I had a bit of a late one last night. Getting my Xbox back, it was a bit of a late one. Yes, a good one, but a late one. So I'm a bit bleary-eyed this morning, so I need a big, strong cup of black coffee to get me ready for the arduous day of cleansing ahead. It's really not that bad. my house is always clean. It's just a titivating day on a Friday to make it all nice and sparkly. So we can just relax all weekend. And then on Monday, it'll be an absolute bomb site again. So I'll have to start all over again, which is fun. Oh, hiccups are coming back. Stop walking around when you're talking. I should sit down. Just sit down, chill out with a cup. I should get a cup of coffee and sit, but then I can't. Because I'm sort of killing two birds with one stone. I'm sort of doing housely chores whilst my little boy's entertained. Because otherwise, if I did housely chores after I'd done my audio book, he'd be locked up like for double the time. Because he's watching TV and playing with toys in his playpen. Because he's at that age where if I let him run around, he falls over a lot. And we've got like tiles right through the hall in the kitchen. He's at that stage where he's into everything. So if I turn the back of him for a second, he's pulling things and pressing buttons and just dismantling stuff and climbing on things and going upstairs. And I'm just, oh no. So he sits in his playpen while I do my housely chores. I kind of got quite a good routine with him, actually. I kind of do half an hour in his pen while he's watching TV and stuff, and I do a bit of housework, and then I'll grab a cup of coffee and come and sit in the lounge and play with him for half an hour or an hour or something, and then chuck him back in his pen and watch a bit more TV while I go and do some more housely chores. And it seems to work okay. He seems to kind of quite enjoy it. In fact, I think he's getting quite clever. The other day, he was asking to watch Postman Pat, and I said, no, he couldn't, because we were doing something else. And he was going, no, Postman Pat. And I said, no, you can't watch Postman Pat. So he went over to the AV receiver and started pressing all the buttons, because usually if I tell him not to press the buttons on the AV receiver and he ignores me and carries on pressing the buttons, I put him in his playpen for a minute. And he obviously associates the fact that quite often he goes in his playpen and gets to watch TV while he's in there. So he was going, Postman Pat, and I was going, no, you're not watching Postman Pat, no, you're not watching Postman Pat. And he looked at me, and you could see his little mind working. And then he just kind of wandered across the room and just stood there, looked over his shoulder at me, and went, pash, 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 pressing all the buttons on my AV receiver. And I said, stop it. Anyway, press, 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 pen, pen. He was asking to be punished. Bless him. He's awesome. He's awesome. Anyway, I'm going to go because I'm getting messages from my brother to help do something with this computer that he's trying to fix for me. Right. Anyway, I'm going to go. Thank you very much for listening to me, people. I hope you're all well and happy. I hope you all have a cracking weekend. And I will speak to you all very, very soon. Take care. Bye-bye.